Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It is good to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here because of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we gather as the body of Christ. You getting the theme here? There's a lot of reasons why we come together. But I want us to, today we're going to be talking a little bit more about faith. And I just want you to just have in your minds thinking about, how is my faith? How do I think about my faith? What does my faith do for me? What is my faith? And we'll be talking a little bit about that as we go into our message today to help encourage you in your faith in Jesus Christ today. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. There's a couple that are not in there that I want to bring up. First, we are in need of a nursery worker once again. So if you know anybody who is over 18 or 18 and over who would be able to have that position and want to be a part of our community, or if someone within is interested in being our nursery worker on Sunday mornings during Sunday school and through worship, please let us know so that we can resolve that nursery worker so that we can make sure we are welcoming to all families who may be in need of that. Also, we're joining, you know how we're doing our mentoring with Shawnee. As a part of that relationship, we have been made aware of a need for coats. And we are, Lucy Parsons has made some preliminary discussions with them to kind of get an idea of, you know, what the needs are. And actually, the needs are quite great. But we're going to make a commitment to providing 40 coats as our what we want to make sure that we're going to provide for them. So on October the 19th, we're going to, kind of like we do the shoes for the shoeless, we're going to have a place out here to be able to take a size of a coat and what kind of coat or whatever it should be for a young boy or young lady, and we're going to do that. So on October 19th, we're going to have instructions in the bulletin that day in order to be able to do that so that we can make sure that we have these coats for our kids at Shawnee. So have that in your mind, October 19th. Be ready to come and take a couple coats with you. Also, a reminder of today, you had this in your bulletin about being World Communion Sunday. So we'll be having our communion together with the idea that we are communing with the entire Christian world today. But it's also a time for us to think about, we're not just us. We are a part of a connection of the Christian community throughout the world. And as we are able to partner with other churches in order to make scholarships available and across the world for different reasons. So if you want to participate in that offering, we'll just add that to our regular offering this morning. So be prepared for that. Coming up on October 12th, I believe that's next Sunday, that's when the Stephen Ministries for the Greater Dayton Area is putting on that program about myths versus facts regarding hospice. So if you want to learn more about hospice care and what that is and what it isn't, that's a good time to learn about that. And once again, coins for mission next week, so bring your coins with you so that we can support our local missions as well. Men's and women's groups are on there, so keep an eye on those. And if you are a male or female on those areas and want to be a part of those ministries, I encourage you. Each one of these different ministries are for you to connect with the faith community that is here. And we encourage you to be part of each and every one of those things that works in your schedule and for what you need. With that, let us take our time to just rest in this prelude as we begin our worship.
Please rise with me and join with me in the call to worship. The Holy Spirit rekindles God's purpose and grace for our lives. Christ Jesus, our Savior, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light.
This is good news, not just for ourselves, but for the world.
Let us worship in thanksgiving and praise. Now, please stay standing and join with me in the opening hymn, Standing on the Promises, hymn number 374. Seated. And join with me in the opening prayer. Holy and triune God, your table transcends time and space. As your disciples on the World Communion Sunday, we join our voices to the songs and prayers offered to your name throughout the world. Increase our faith and give us grace to love and forgive one another. As you have loved and forgiven us, we remember all of your beloved children. Help us bear witness to the world in need of you. Give us courage to live in love with you, in you and for you. For the sake of all your beloved children, we pray. Amen. Children, please come forward and join with me in the children's moment.
Coming on down.
Oh, I forgot my basket.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it's important.
Got to have the basket. Mm-hmm. Hey.
You were going to remind me?
Yeah.
Okay, so today is World Communion Sunday. And I was going to start with a question, but that was going to be a really hard question. So I'm just going to start out talking a little bit about communion, because it's something that I, over the last couple of years, have really enjoyed that part of service every month. And it's not just because I get some bread and grape juice during service. So communion, when I start thinking about communion, I think about the word community. Has anybody else thought about how those words sound similar? Can anybody tell me what it means, what community means? Because actually community is in our name of our church. This is still kind of a tough question, but it's a little easier than communion. What does community mean?
Like the people around you that you're with.
The people around you that you're with, yes. So being part of a community is being around the people that you're with, and really valuing the community and valuing the people around you that you're with. Now, the first communion was at the Last Supper. Does everybody remember that story? And Jesus shared bread, and he said, this is my body. I'm giving this to you. And then he shared some wine, grape juice. He said, this is my blood. I'm giving this to you. He was sharing that he was giving something to the believers, to his disciples, sharing that with him together in a community, but he was giving it to them so they could have everlasting life. He was telling them that soon he's also going to die for their sins. What I always find interesting is that he did this in a big meal, in a meal around a supper table. And I always think about how sometimes we can have different moments where we come together around a table. And it also could represent how we come together as a community and share our gifts with each other just in that meal. Sometimes I think about communion as also a chance to, we all are taking this small bit of Jesus with us and we're connecting with Jesus. But don't forget that we're all doing it at the same time as a big church, almost table right now. And we're doing it together, which is really cool. And even cooler on this Sunday is we're doing it all around the world. All around the world, churches are doing it on this Sunday to try to remember that we're all at one big supper table with Jesus, and he is giving us the best meal ever, which is a little bit of him, so we can have everlasting life. So something to think about as we together do this communion today. Okay, together. All right, let's bow our head and pray. Jesus, please, please make it a great week for all of us. Please keep in mind those of us and in our community that are in the greatest need. And please bless them. Please let us focus and think about this moment in World Communion Sunday and think of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, here's a little snack. Before the bread and the wine, you have animal crackers as well. Okay, we are moving on to, please join with us in One Bread and One Body, hymn number 620.
Thank you.
Let's go for our Lord in prayer, keeping in mind our connection. Amazing God, you are one in a million. Lord, we can't even put a value to you. You are everything. It is through you that everything exists. It is through you that we are able to be here today. It is through you that we are able to have an earth that produces food for us. It is through you that we have life. And it's through your Son that we are given new life in a way that brings us closer and closer to you. And we think about what it means to be one with you. And then we think about how if I am one with you and everyone else that knows you is one with you, how can we be one? That is what's amazing about you, O God. You take the math that we know and you change it all. You multiply when we add. So we just ask that you would help us to understand who we are as one body that spans the entire globe. It's not just us here in this room who call ourselves faith community, but it is everyone who calls upon your name. That is a lot. Lord, we are amazed at how you have met each and every one of us, and there are millions and millions of us. So why do we feel so small? Help us, O God, to understand who we are in you. How in our oneness we become amazing with you. May we learn to become together as one more often in your name so that we can show that there is so much power in who you are and how you work in us and through us. Not just for ourselves, O God, but for you. For your glory, for all that is in this for you. But it is all grounded in love for all. So Lord, help us to be able to be those people who are encouraged and able to draw others to you because we understand your love more and more. And we want to share it so that others can be one with you and one with us and one with all the world in the name of Jesus Christ. So call us to you, O God, as the body that spans the globe. Put us to work. Let us find joy in the Lord. Let us now share the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we go into our time of offering, we're remembering this is World Communion Sunday, but we also have a message from our bishop. We have a video, hopefully, that'll work for us. And he wanted to encourage us today as we prepare for our offering this morning.
Today, I just want to say thank you. Because of your giving through your local church, lives are being touched right where you are. Families are being cared for. Children are being nurtured. Neighbors are being loved. And through our connection with the wider church, Your generosity is also making a difference here in Ohio land and all around the world. Let me give you just a few examples. You're helping provide life-saving care through the Wings of the Morning medical mission and the farms in the Congo. Together with the missionaries who serve there, you are brings hope and healing to people who need it most. You are working alongside neighbors through all-in community, supporting those impacted by crime, incarceration, and injustice. You are reminding them that God's love is bigger than their past, and that they are not alone. You're helping us reach new people with the love of the Jesus Christ through new church starts and faith community with a fresh expression. Every gift helping plant seed of faith in the place we might never reach out our own. And you're supporting those called to ministry, equipping leaders to step into God's call in with the courage, with the joy, and with the hope. Friends, these are just a few of the ways your giving is changing lives. So from my heart to yours, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Together we are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world.
Just to remind us that a portion of everything that we give here at the church goes to our greater connection in order for these things to be possible. As part of the United Methodist Church, we are, this is why we are united in our work that goes throughout the world through the things that we do as United Methodists. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in the prayer of dedication. Faithful God, our source and sustainer, you call us to believe beyond what we see and serve without seeking reward. Take these gifts as seeds of trust, planted in hope and watered with gratitude. Multiply our offering into acts of healing, welcome, and justice. In the name of the one who came to serve, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel.
Okay. Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
You may be seated.
Shout to the north and the south, sing to
Well, during the month of August, you might remember, we took a deep dive into the topic of faith. We started with four foundational pillars to a life of faith. And maybe you remember them being belief, trust, fidelity, and agency. Where our belief is in the reality of God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. Our trust is founded in God's faithfulness to be who God says He is and who we believe God is. Our fidelity, that is our faithfulness to the Lord, is given by submitting to God's transforming grace to live in the Lord's will and way throughout our life's journey. And finally, we give ourselves to the Lord as God's agents in the work of salvation in the world through the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. We also spent time speaking about faith being something that takes endurance as we anticipate life for all eternity in the fullness of God's presence and peace to be an everyday reality. We also proclaimed we can experience unshakable faith in our covenant with Jesus Christ, who gives us access to God's wisdom, guidance, transforming power and presence here and now. And we even talked about how faith leads us to acts of love, justice, and mercy. What we didn't talk about is measuring faith. And the only reason we are bringing it up today is because Jesus' first disciples brought it up to Jesus when they were overwhelmed by Jesus' teachings. Is faith measurable? I don't think so, not at least from a quantitative perspective. It doesn't have weight or length. It can't be counted. There's no price we can put on it. However, like the disciples, we want more of it. The best I can come up with to compare faith is confidence. I can remember as an athlete, I had all the skills and attributes that my sport required, but my performance level was dependent upon the confidence I had in my abilities. The same applies to any occupation, artistry, musicianship, and quite frankly, it's true about our self-assurance. Like faith, I don't think we can measure confidence. But we can tell when we are functioning from a place of confidence or not. Confidence and faith are closely related. One is based on the real or perceived evidence of our abilities and qualities, while the other is based on our belief and trust in God's abilities and qualities, which we may or may not have experienced or witnessed. So instead of us trying to figure out if faith is measurable or not, I think the better question for us today is, how do we live from a place of faith? Today's passage may seem like it started abruptly, and that is because it did. We need to review what led to the apostles' request in the few verses right before it. The apostles responded to Jesus' teachings about the power of sin, the impact of our sin on ourselves and on others, the importance of accountability, and the command to forgive others over and over and over again. I can see the apostles looking at each other and then thinking to themselves, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And then, as Luke described, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What they really were asking was, Lord, increase our confidence in ourselves. They looked at the evidence of their lives and it didn't measure up to that what they saw in Jesus. They were afraid. Fear and self-doubt got the best of them at that moment. If we could just stop comparing ourselves to others, think of how much better off we would be in so many areas of our life. And comparing ourselves to Jesus as a means of measuring our faith will always result in feeling inadequate. Even comparing ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ is problematic because our faith stories are all unique. So instead of looking for ways to gain confidence in our abilities and qualities to follow Jesus, we live by faith, placing our confidence in Christ. See, Jesus meets us where we are and invites us to follow Him. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect like Him to respond to Him in faith. He does call us to repent, that is to turn to Him, to entrust Him with our life. Do we have confidence in Jesus to lead us and transform us as we follow Him? If so, let's walk with Him. Walk with Him always. We can ask Jesus anything and everything as we go about our daily life. And what if, let's get in the habit of asking Jesus, what is He doing? What is He doing? And is there anything that we could do? Is there something that He wants from us? After all, it is His kingdom that is eternal, not ours. Jesus responded to the apostles' request to increase their faith with what I think of as a ridiculous statement to discount their notion that a certain measure of faith was required to follow His teachings and His call to follow Him where He leads. Jesus replied, He said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." What was Jesus saying? First, Jesus expressed the seemingly impossible as being possible by faith in Him. Regardless of how small we think we are or how big the obstacle facing us is, faith overcomes fear. Second, faith comes with the authority and power of God. Our faith is in the Almighty God, the Creator of all that is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who promised to be with us always. Third, responding in faith is for the purpose of following the Lord's will and ways. The power and authority that is available to us is not for our purposes, but the Lord's. So as we live from a place of faith, we depend on the power of God. It is faith in God's character and abilities, not ours. Whatever faith we have is powerful when we respond in faith. It is God's power through the Holy Spirit which works within us to break us free from sin that keeps us from loving God, others, and ourselves. It is through the Holy Spirit we are also inspired to see the world through Jesus' eyes and recognize His will. And it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to step out in faith to do His will. This is the dependence on God. That's what it looks like. However, we often depend on ourselves, don't we? Allowing our pride to take the lead and demanding, "I can handle this." Or even as a church, we look at each other and say, "We can do this." And we stop seeking the Lord for continued inspiration, guidance, and power. When we stop seeking the Lord, it can lead us to unmotivated ministry and a loss of purpose. Perhaps that is why Jesus shared this story about a master and servant relationship. Jesus asked His disciples to consider the servant's understanding of the expectations of the master. The servant knew their role was to be available and to do what was asked of them, period. The servant didn't look for a thank you or some kind of affirmation of excellence of their work. they served their master. After sharing this story, Jesus concluded, "So you also," talking to the apostles and the disciples, "when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" There are a couple points I believe Jesus was making here. First, to live from a place of faith, we live to please the Lord. Our life in Christ is a covenant relationship with Jesus as Lord and Master and us as disciple and servant. Our daily life of faith is a response to this relationship and a call to become like Christ in His character, but also in His purpose. Our Lord has called us to do these things every day of our life. What are we doing to participate in our discipleship? How are we working to fulfill Christ's mission and ministry to the world, directing others to His saving grace and offer love and mercy to all we meet? A shift must occur in us to move away from always looking to please ourselves to truly desiring to please the Lord. Second, to live from a place of faith, we give all glory to God. This is counterintuitive to our society, isn't it? From an early age, we are nurtured to expect praise for the things we do. We naturally look for external validation all the time. We have carried this mentality into the church. Now, it is appropriate for us to show appreciation for one another's service, but at no point should we be serving with a desire or expectation of being recognized or praised for what we do. Our service is for God's glory alone. Even though our selfishness in nature likes status, power, recognition, and praise, in Christ, our nature is changing. Living from this place of faith of pleasing the Lord we praise, we are sustained by the Lord's grace to continue to live a life motivated by His purposes for His glory. So friends, faith isn't something we need to measure. Faith is something that we profess based on what we believe, who we believe in, who we have been called to be, and what we have been called to do, and something we must live out. To live out our faith in Jesus Christ, we place our confidence in Christ, not ourselves. We depend on God's unlimited power, not our limited capacity. We live to please the Lord, not our desires, and we give all glory to God and experience the joy in the Lord as we partner in the mission and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wherever it takes us. So let's respond in faith to live inspired, motivated, and empowered lives in service to the Lord and our community. You remember a couple weeks ago when my wife was actually up here preaching, she had this form for you. This is about being inspired and motivated and in ministry for the Lord. If you want to be a part of our church prayer partners, there's still a sign-up sheet out there. We have four or five names maybe out there. Hopefully we'll be working to reach out more. We're going to need partners in that. Also, the whole district is working on a strategy for multiplying and within the district, and there's a prayer that's listed. Let's be inspired, motivated, and empowered in our faith as we serve. Amen. This morning around our table, it is an exciting thing for us. It should be to understand our connection across the globe. This morning, we actually are going to be inviting people forward for communion, so have that in mind as a way of thinking that we're coming to the Lord's table, and as Chad was sharing with the kids, as we go out, we're taking a piece of Jesus with us. So I want us to be able to have that as part of our connection this morning. Also, if you want to look in your hymnals today on page 15, I didn't have it put on the board because I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to present this. But so on page 15, it's just a generic thing. It has the prompts. All the words that I'm going to say are not in there, but the prompts are in there for you to respond to what we have here. So as we come to the Lord, understand that we are coming not because we're perfect, but because Jesus is perfect. And we come to Him for all things. And it is through Him that we are saved. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people and all on earth, all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today His family and all the world is joining at His holy table. And on the night that in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread and asked for blessing, broke it, and gave it to His disciples. And says, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, He took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to His disciples and said, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. It is the new covenant. Take, drink, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. O God, we join with our sisters and brothers around the world in remembering Christ's sacrifice for us, for the opportunity to eat and drink together, and for the life we have received, we give you thanks and praise. In the abundance of your many gifts, grant us grace to fill one another's lives with love. Redeem, restore, and remold us until we are made new. Transform our daily bread into the bread of life, and the cup that we drink into the cup of salvation. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. This is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, our table is set. I would invite those that I've asked to serve communion to come forward. And then our ushers will help us by receiving or releasing you as you come. You guys want to use that? Lord, we are grateful for this beautiful meal that spans the globe. May you continue to work in us so that we want to share the joy with the world as we go today filled with you. Amen.
Please rise if you are able for our closing hymn. Forth in thy name, O Lord, hymn number 438.
How much faith do you have? You have enough. Live it out. God is who gives us all that we need to live it out. So go in faith and go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.